Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, you guys are lined up. You want to talk about it, so we'll get right to those phone lines. 617-779-7937. Let's start with Mike in Boston. Ryan, if you could pull him up. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hope you had a great holiday.
Sure did.
And nice. But I think it was a catch, because when he catches the ball, he's actually in the end zone. His forward progress is stopped and he's pushed backwards. Either that or there's no such thing as forward progress.
Well, he's got to catch it first. It's not like he's a running back that already possesses the football.
I know, but he had the ball. He had possession when he first catches it. Then he gets hit by the defender.
Yeah, but you have to complete the catch. You know what I mean? This isn't a running back going to the goal line or quarterback scrambling to the goal line. You got to first prove that you caught the football.
The question becomes about control.
Yeah.
Are you controlling the football before you hit the ground? Do mm-hmm. you maintain? It's about possession and control of football. So I understand the point, like, oh, you're in the end zone with it, but you have to demonstrate control if you hit the ground.
Right. So there's a big play. It was 23-23 at the time. Does it matter? I mean, you know, I don't know how the whole thing plays out, but Minnesota went down the field, kicked a field goal, and then scored a touchdown. So, but the calls, there's no question. They certainly didn't help. Let's go to John in Rhode Island, who wants to get into more of those calls. Go ahead, John.
Yo.
John, are you there? Ryan, is that John? Rhode Island? All right. Let's put him on hold.
So, if you look at Rule 8, Section 1, Article 3-4.
Where are you picking this up?
Well, I'm just trying to – I mean, I feel like there does need to be some sort of, like, understanding of what an actual catch is.
Okay. The thing is, this goes back to where I'm coming from, where I think everybody across the board has different definitions of the catch. I mean, like, of what he catches. We see this so often at this point because these guys are so hyper-athletic. They're making these, like, razor-thin mm-hmm. plays. And so, to me, it's more about the procedure. If we're going to rule it this way, why not just set up 12 cameras on the end zone? And you can get every corner. You can get a 360 view of the catch. You don't even have to have a human being standing down there. Don't even let the refs be down there. You could just do some 360 that's sponsored by Amazon or someone else. And then you can see every corner of it. So nobody calls anything on the field. And you just go to video. If this is the way we're going to do it, because it drives me crazy. Like, don't make up the rule and the procedure.
Well, that's the problem.
And then work it against some cases and then have it be completely different in others. What does your rule book say? You don't like my 12 cameras?
No. I feel like, so, because again, I feel like everybody looks, so there's really three things, right? So you got to secure control of the ball in his hands or arms prior to the ball touching the ground, and touches the ground inbounds with both feet. Those are easy, right? C, after A and B have been fulfilled, performs any at comma to the game, tucking the ball away, extended it forward, blah, blah, blah. But this is the one that stands out to me in the notes section.
Ooh.
Right? If a player who satisfied A and B but has not satisfied C contacts the ground and loses control of the ball, it is an incomplete pass if the ball hits the ground before he regains control or if he regains control out of bounds.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I sit there, I look at it, I'm like, okay. So he catches the ball. So they're basically saying he didn't complete the catch, right? So instead of it saying, what does it say, survive the ground?
Yeah.
So now it's more like, I don't know, feels ambiguous. It still feels ambiguous.
That's why you don't turn it over. Right. Like, what is the point of having the ref in the end zone if you're then just going to go to video and turn it over something that's not conclusive?
The problem I have is, like, we're sitting here, fans, we're trying to watch this game, you're trying to figure out what catches are. The issue, to me, is more like people within the game should know. Right? The head coaches should know. Like, you name it, GMs, they should know. Wide receivers should know what a catch is. And it doesn't seem like everyone's on the same page. Ryan, I want to play Bill Belichick this morning.
Hey, it's Greg.
He was on the Greg Hill show, and they asked him about this rule, the ball surviving the ground, and this is what he had to say about it.
You know, we look at plays in the offseason. Officials might bring in 20 plays and say, okay, these 10 are catches, these 10 aren't. And I think we all kind of sit in the room, and I don't think there's a consensus on, oh, yeah, I see that, or, you know, they're close plays. And so it's hard to reach a consensus on a lot of plays. And what the rule is and what you actually see on the video that they show, sometimes it's not clear to everybody what exactly it is we're seeing. There's nothing we can do about that. Those calls are out of our control. So whatever they are, we just have to deal with them and move on.
See, to me, that's the biggest issue they have. I mean, you have all these head coaches in the league. The officials come in, they show you 20. These 10 are catches, these 10 aren't. And the coaches look at each other and go, what? Wait, what's the difference between 5 and 8?
That's insane, by the way. This isn't like Nathaniel Hack. You'd be like, look, I don't know what I'm looking at. This is Bill Belichick
saying, we
do this every year, and it's like, the same problem.
Yeah, all these coaches are in the meetings, and they're like, I don't understand. Hold on, hands up. Why is 2 a catch and 12 not? Like, what do we, you know, so like in baseball, when you change rules, the, you know, breaking up a double play, you know, taking out a catcher at home plate, it's like, okay, we need to go over what the rules are so I can coach my players. You can't take a catcher out unless he catches it and he's right in line with you or whatever. I need to know what the rule is so I can coach my guys. And these coaches get into a room in the offseason with the referees, and they're still got their hands up going, what are you talking about?
No, yeah. That everybody leaves the room in complete disagreement about what they just saw.
Right.
Like, how is that constructive? Perhaps you should have a different kind of meeting.
I mean, if nothing else, like the fans watching, at least the coaches should have a clear and concise definition by the referees in an off season to find out what is and what isn't a catch. And it seems like even, you know, these guys that have been around football forever sit in a room and have no idea.
See, I think the one thing that I think all coaches can kind of agree on is at some point in time in a 17-game season, you will actually be the victim of this rule.
Yes.
It's like you just flip a coin and like, all right, it's my turn. Like, eventually it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. Like, yeah, it's just going to.
It will. Let me go back to the phone calls. Ryan, if you could pull Ross up, who's got a question on determining a catch. Go ahead, Ross. You're on.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good,
nice
buddy.
To talk to you. Hey, I was just curious. I got two questions. First of all, if you look at let's say a quarterback on a goal line, stretching his arms out, and they call it a touchdown as soon as he crosses the goal line. Yeah. They don't look at anything else after that point. Mm-hmm. Secondly, why wasn't this call subject to a challenge by New England? Was there a reason that he couldn't challenge it?
It's ruled a touchdown, so it's automatically, any touchdown in the NFL is automatically reviewed. So
challenged.
They don't have to. Well, it doesn't matter. They don't have to. They review it anyway.
No, but he's wondering why the Patriots couldn't challenge it. It was challenged. It just went against you. And again, this is so...
You can't challenge the challenge.
Yeah, you can't like, oh, I don't like that challenge.
You can't challenge the inherent
challenge. Let me throw a red flag on the actual challenge.
That would be funny. Look at it again!
But the other one...
Then we would go around in a circle forever. I challenge the challenge on that challenge.
And I keep hearing this too. Like everybody keeps calling saying like a running back crossing the line of scrimmage. It's totally different. They already have possession of the football. It's not... This is all about, first off, was he in the end zone? Yes. But did he catch the football?
I'll give you an example.
They ruled that he did not catch the football.
The remember the what Super Bowl was that? Philadelphia. What number was it? I don't even know. Was it 18?
Oh yeah, 18. What's his name? Slamming in the end zone.
2018.
The ball to the ground.
No, Zach Ertz catches the football right. Took two steps and a football completed. Like that was a touchdown. It was pretty clean. It was obvious, right? That he had two steps before he crossed the goal line before he lost it. So it was a touchdown. I just feel like this play, two things that always kind of confuse me is the catch rule and like the targeting rule as far as, you know, when is it targeting? When is it like a dangerous play and should they like give the guy a penalty? And when is it not? A guy's moving his body. He's catching. He runs into my head. Like I wasn't targeting him, but now I'm victimized. Now I'm penalized for it. And it wasn't even my fault. So those two rules, I feel like it's just the, I feel like that's something you chalk up as the cost of doing business. Like, it's like that's just always going to happen. You have to assume that you're going to be screwed by one of these calls.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's kind of like where it is. Let's get back to some of the calls. And you guys want to talk about this whole game? Let's go to I want to go to Doug. Doug in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Doug. You're on the show.
Yeah. Hey, guys. So I squarely blame Bill Belichick for this loss. We can't control the penalties that don't get called. We can't control this video replay. But we can't control whether or not we try to block a punt. When we had everything going for us at that time, that changed the game. That changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
He made a poor coaching decision. And he's done it in Chicago, and he did it in Green Bay. And so three of the losses are on his head.
All right, thanks for the call. Listen, I hated that play. We were talking about this on Friday. If you're playing the Jets and Zach Wilson or Sam Ehlinger, and you kind of want to feel frisky, right, because your offense isn't doing much, you want to try to go for the block punt, that's one thing. But when you're playing like a real team, that every time they take the field, they're actually trying to score a touchdown with the talent that the Vikings have, and it's 10 minutes to go in a tie game in the fourth quarter, just take the ball. Now, you know, set up a return. The guy Marcus Jones the week before ran one back for a touchdown. Just it's 23 or 26 all at that point, like 10 minutes to go in the game. Just take the ball. Why are you even trying to block the punt at that point with the dangerous guy that you have back there? I hated that call. And obviously, the block punt didn't work out well. Pierre Strong could have taken a different angle. I just didn't like the fact they were going for a block.
Well, I don't know if he was like – so that's part of the issue with me. Was he – did he realize that he had an opportunity to go for the block because he got a free release? And it was like, oh, my God, like, look how close I'm going to be. I better commit to it. Was that part of the problem? Was this an actual called block? Because there's the actual, you know, play that you draw up and you want to take advantage of a situation. Or did he just find himself free and he's like, oh, hey, I can block this.
You could explain it either way because he's a rookie. So you could say, like, either he got – the moment was too big for him,
yeah,
and he tried to make something happen on his own.
It just happened.
Or one of his coaches told him to do something dumb, and he's a rookie, so he felt scared and had to do the thing that the coach said to do.
Just so
either
many
way,
issues.
It's just like,
there's,
you know,
so many of those issues, and it just one. So you have a kickoff return for a touchdown, and you have a roughing the punter that gives you an automatic first down.
Three plays later,
second straight touchdown. Week that happened. By the way, yep. That happened against the Jets too. I mean, this is a recurring problem.
So you
in the week
we
before,
had...
you blocked one. So like 3 weeks in a row, you've blocked one that got you a touchdown, and then you've run into the kicker twice.
This is a yeah. challenge for Ryan back in the studio. Who, like, listen, if you can't find it, you can't. But do you remember? This is a challenge.
Oh,
you remember when Lombardi was talking to us about special teams years ago? Right, a couple of years. It was like last year, and he talked about like we were comparing like how bad the special teams was last year,
mm-hmm.
and then he had brought up the year before stats, like it was some anomaly, like it didn't exist. Like, last year they were one of the best special teams, you know, in the NFL, and last year they weren't. They had all these issues.
Yeah,
and like here we are again with the same issues moving forward because
well, the
it
week
all
before,
comes
special
down to,
teams won the game for you.
That's why it was like it's just. It's
but Luke,
odd the way it works.
Did they win the game because of the talent of the player or because of a call that the coach made?
Going into this game this week, we said they have some punting issues. There's no question about it. And he came up again, the new guy, whatever the hell his name is.
Parody.
But we're saying their special teams is one of the strengths of this.
Pilardi.
Yeah,
but the special teams was part of their strength. Punt returns. You know, Falk, you know, their punter was some issues, but we were praising the special teams. They just won a game because of it. And here they are now, and defensively you could say the same thing, and here they are, then they lose a game because of it. It's just an inconsistent, so-so-eh team. That's what happens, right? 1 week you're great at it, next week you're eh.
I know.
You lose, you forget how to do it.
Which the you say teams should be kind of finding their, like Cincinnati. Listen, started off 0-2. Next thing you know, they're winning game after game. Won a big one last week or yesterday against Tennessee. You can see the teams that are starting to kind of like now the cream is starting to rise to the top.
No, this
that's
team's
not you.
Identity. They're like a 14-year-old.
Still don't know what it is.
Trying to like go through every phase in the book.
Yeah. And
you know,
voice
they're like
crying.
now I'm into hip hop. Oh,
listen.
Now I'm a skateboarder. Oh, now I'm a jock. Like every week they're different. I don't know what they are.
We want to get into more calls here. You guys are all lined up. You want to talk about this game, so we're here for you. We also want to dive into the defense a little bit at some point next segment. And again, we'll talk to Mac Jones. Usually, I don't know, between 4:30 and 5, you say. So if we have updates, we'll let you know. But we'll take your calls, talk about this defense. It's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But how do you explain special teams? Like three block punts. How do you too many men in the huddle? Too many men in the field. Well, not enough men in the field. Like well, bad first halves, bad second halves. Like what, you know, coming out of half, starting the game?
I think to me, look, you know, I mean, I've watched the man work. He's the best coach in football. So you can say that, but there's no better coach. And the reality of it is they were the number one special teams in the league last year, you know, and they didn't get it done this year. And I think that's probably one of the things that bothers them more than anything.
So Bill,
the fact that they had those problems on special teams, which is an area that's usually a strength.
Yeah. That's my guy. Good job, Ryan.
Mike Lombardi. Way to find that.
But I tell you what, you were just.
We were done with him at that point.
It was like the things that you were listing off. That was 2021 Patriots.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm talking about bad coaching.
It was this last January.
I mean, it was like
2020.
You remember last year's too many men in the field. Enough men in the field. Like bad first halves, bad second halves. Like what? You know, coming out of half, starting the game.
Jeez.
It was true. I mean, listen, Mike Lombardi. There isn't. I don't think anyone that covers the NFL that isn't sitting there thinking coaching is an issue on this football team, offensively, especially, right? And he still thinks it's naive to blame them.
Yeah.
So he's never going to admit that coaching is an issue. There'd be nothing wrong with him saying, "Yeah, I think Bill is a great coach," but he'll never say it. But he has surrounded himself with coaches that aren't getting it done, that aren't paying attention to detail, that aren't sending the message down that Bill wants to send down. Whatever.
He watches practice tape. Lou doesn't.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're not there, Lou. How do you know?
Why don't you,
I don't watch the all 29s and the all 22s.
Oh man. Can throw that on him.
Show your work, Lou.
Yeah, I will. I know. Jesus, he's so bad. All right, let's get to some of the more of these calls here first. Let's go to Fred in Rhode Island, Ryan, if you could pull him up talking about the penalties that killed the New England Patriots. Go ahead.
Hey, Lou, how you doing?
Good, Pat.
How you going, Christian? You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Hey, just a couple questions. Lou, I've been following you since you were a PC, so it's always a pleasure.
Go Friars.
But, yes. But, you know, to say that you know, we didn't score for the three times we were in red zone is kind of a incorrect statement, because the first one was, you know, they caught the pass on the 5 yard line with what, eight seconds left on the clock, and then threw the pass to Bourne. So you can't blame, you know, Mack for that one. Second one, the ref's hand went up first for a touchdown when he made his first move on the pass to Henry. Before he even went to the ground, they were already signaling the touchdown. And if you look at the play from the backside of it, his knees hit the ground before his hands did. So that makes that a completion no matter what, because the ground can't cause a fumble. The last one I agree with you on. But then the penalties, you know, you're saying the penalties are a problem, but why aren't there a problem when they don't call the penalties? Like the play on Mack, you know, we would have had the ball, you know, the play on Hunter Henry, we would have had the ball on the, what, the 30-yard line with 5 minutes left in the game. You know, the penalty on the Duggar return. So,
well, there
you
know, was none. Yeah, the lack of a penalty.
When the refs submit the calls, you know, it's the same thing.
Yeah, see,
I think, sorry, no, real quick, Christian. I think it's just because it's uncharacteristic. I mean, this is when we have callers call in and say, oh, you know, Bill Belichick is going to win three games alone for the Patriots. Bill always says the players win the game on the field, but people like to say his strategizing, his coaching will win you games. Well, a huge part of that is him preparing his teams to be detail-oriented and not shoot themselves in the foot. And it's a huge part of why this has been multiple dynasties here in Foxborough. So when you lose that, when it seems like for three seasons now, you continually lose that in game after game after game, you start to question, why is that characteristic of the team disappearing? I think it's fair to do.
Yeah, I do.
I understand when he was talking about the red zone things.
What do you mean?
I don't know. So, what was the Bourne at the six? What was he talking about?
I don't know.
They're all for three in the red zone.
You can't woe is me with these issues.
Maybe this guy, maybe he can clear it up. Let's go to Jim in the car who says the same thing. 0 for 3 in the red zone is disingenuous. Jim, are you there? Go ahead.
No, it's Tim, but hi, how are you?
Hey.
Good, how are you
Tim.
Buddy?
All right. So, yeah, the last guy had my same sentiments. One of them, you can call 50-50. Some people think it's a catch. Some people think it's not. But statistically, it's an offer because they called it not a catch. The other one, one of them, they didn't do anything. So that's an offer one. But the other one was also, they caught the ball at the 5 yard line. The first play was stop the clock, you know, spike the ball. The second play, which they haven't talked about, Kendrick Bourne was totally interfered with because the defender never looked back at the ball, but it was one play in the red zone before they had to kick a field goal because time was ending in the half. So it's a little disingenuous to say they were 0 for 3 when one of them is contentious. The other one was a single play.
Let me ask you, though, Joe, do you blame them at the end of the half for not having enough time?
No.
In the
red
zone?
They made mistakes getting there. They made mistakes getting there, absolutely. Hunter Henry and Mac Jones made mistakes. But in the red zone, there was one play.
I know, but here's the thing, Tim. Thanks for the call. I understand what you're saying. But if this wasn't been an issue, do you know in the last four games since Mac Jones has come back, they're 2 for 10 in the red zone? They're 2 for 10. And one of those touchdowns was a block punt that got you to the 2.
Mm-hmm.
Where the first play was a -1 to J.J. Taylor. You know,
great.
So you're 2 for 10. As far as drives that got you into the red zone, and you're right, end of the half, but you played a role in that. As far as drives that got you into the red zone and scored, you've only had one drive still. And that was Jacoby Myers' touchdown at the end of the coming out of the first half against the Jets 4 weeks ago. That's it. So they don't really deserve the benefit of the doubt, to be honest with you. And speaking of that, can we hear? Do you have the Joe Judge thing lined up right now? Can I just hear it in full? Yesterday, meeting with the media, and they asked him about the struggles or what Mac can do, I think, to maybe be better in the red zone. This is what Joe Judge had to say.
Red zone, though, where do you see things, you know, breaking down there? And are there things that Mac can do, you know, differently? Obviously, late in the game, there was a sack. On third down, pressure on fourth down, that wasn't really seemingly his fault. But what can he do better in those spots, in your view?
I'm not going to go into any kind of, you know, analysis or broad stroke picture of any one player or anything in general. I think when you talk about the red area is, you know, a very dynamic area of the field. It's very different when you go through different zones. And it's very different based on how each defense coordinator calls it. So if you refer to the, you know, red area, is it the 25 to the 20, that fringe area? Are you talking about the 20 to the 15? You're talking about inside
Stop!
The 15-yard
line.
I
can't do it. I'm sorry, Ryan.
What happened?
Hey,
what is he doing?
He's asking the reporter if he even knows what the red zone is.
What is he?
I mean, when you say red zone, are you talking about the fringe? No, yeah. I'm actually talking about the red zone.
So contentious.
15-yard. How about you guys can't score from any of it? Are we so talking can you explain
inside
that?
Inside the 5, inside the 15, inside the 25? What are we talking about?
It's very dynamic.
I'm not going to talk about any specific zone on the field.
It's a dynamic area.
Shut up.
What is it?
What is the area?
Like, I'm trying to think.
I'm actually amazed.
No, wait.
Really, I really am.
Are you talking about the 20-yard line or the 25-yard line?
For the record,
there's different levels of dynamics.
The red zone. Can we all, like, let's take a vote. Okay. Who thinks, and then say I, because I know we're doing a radio show, who thinks the red zone, Arcan, you too, is the 20-yard line in? Say yes.
I.
Everybody says four. Okay.
The eyes have it.
Who says the fringe is anything outside of the 20-yard line and in?
If you refer to the red area, is it the 25 to the 20, that fringe area?
No.
No, that's
not
the
fringe area. It's the red
zone
area. That's
the fringe. The red area is the red area.
So let me ask you, because we talk about, like, dynamic.
I don't know how much was left.
We still had another minute to go.
Once you cross, Christian, the thing is, when you cross
I don't want to
from
listen
the 25-yard line.
I feel like I have to.
Christian, when you cross from the 25-yard line to the 20-yard line, what happens there?
Ooh, it's a magic land.
But you have like
crikey! It's like, the red zone.
Oi! What are we gonna do? It's the illustrious red area.
Be very quiet. It's like, red zone.
I've heard
don't scare the red zone, eh?
I've heard of dynamic players before. Like, this guy's a dynamic player, right? Like, he's just
the worst Australian accent I've ever heard.
Yeah, the worst one. Oi. Oi. But what is a dynamic area? What makes it so dynamic?
Can we kind of role play this and kind of dissect it and figure out what makes the red zone dynamic?
If you refer to the, you know, red area, is it the 25 to the 20, that fringe area?
No, it's the red area. The red
area.
Zone. That's the fringe area. But the dynamic, why don't you just say, like, that's where games are won and lost? And you can't figure it out. And he gets into, like, how defensive coordinators approach it differently. I thought that was the beauty of Matt Patricia. Wasn't he supposed to be able to tell you defensively how teams are going to attack you?
Right.
And show Mac how to adjust.
Wait, what was the question again?
But
the question
about,
like,
Mac.
What do you? Because I wrote it down. What do you
how
see?
How can you do something better in the end zone?
What do you see breaking down? What are the breakdowns at? Where are the struggles? Like, what are you gonna do? How can you do it better?
Well, I'm not gonna get into individual
play. Well, I'm not gonna tell you anything.
Right. I'm not gonna go into any kind of, you know, analysis or broad stroke picture of any one player or anything in general. I think.
Hold on.
Even the way that he said it, I'm not going to give any analysis.
Why are we going
I'm not
going to
give you a broad stroke picture.
No.
So I'm not going to give you anything.
Because he's Steve Irwin.
Yeah, he's going hunting in the red zone.
He's like, you know,
so now
like,
he's Joe Judge.
Like, he's the only
Joe
person.
Joe Jazz?
Yeah. He's a hunter. This guy is. Be
it's
careful.
It's a mysterious red zone,
be
isn't
careful.
It?
I don't think I want to.
It's a wild red zone.
Don't you enter the red zone. Oh. There's danger there.
Wait. Actually,
it's a fade.
Rather than listening to the rest of
the guy running the red zone,
kill the clock.
Wait, for the record, let me just bring something up.
Oi!
I know we've changed, so I had to go to the eye doctor today. Right?
What?
I found out. Hold on, squirrel. You okay? We're doing different accents.
Crikey, is a squirrel over there.
Yeah, the squirrel. We got to get this. So I found out I have a leaky eye, Lou.
What?
I have a leaky eye.
What does that mean?
I think it's like I don't know. I gotta
leaking
talk
what?
To my leaky eye. I feel like it has
crying?
Something to do with the catch off. Like, so, like, I went to the eye doctor, who's actually like grew up with Courtney. I had this long information at the Elliott Eye Doctor place in Foxborough, but that's not the story.
That is shocking.
The story is that
isn't
I was
that shocking.
I was standing in the waiting area.
It's a good story.
Minding my own business, just, you know, real nice swanky place, lots of high-end glasses and frames. You know, yeah. You're going to eye doctors,
yeah.
Like lots of lights and lots of mirrors.
Yeah. Is everything is like all the walls and the furniture
yeah.
is white?
Everything's just really, it's swank. It's like really nice. I'm like, wow. So I'm just standing there minding my business with my arms folded with my soon-to-be leaky eye. diagnosis. Ew. And sure, I know it's gross, right?
You're like an old cat.
I know. I feel like it's like it's all gonna dry up soon.
Oh, you got to pat his eye with a warm compress.
Does it mean like you're like crying a lot or
no,
something?
Like, it's just
leaking?
No. Like, have you noticed? I've noticed I was like kind of rubbing my eye.
That is such an old guy thing.
It is.
Why or conjunctivitis is his eye, like a
yes.
baby?
Why is his eye wet?
It is. It's gross.
So you're in this high class waiting room,
nice fade, and I'm just standing here, minding my own business. And then this dude walks in, and he's kind of like staring at me. I think he kind of recognizes who I am. He's like, "Oh, what are you doing in the eye doctor? Gonna get some glasses? Oh, what do you got? Astigmatism? Oh, four eyes? Hey, four eyes? Four yay? Oh,
hey, oh.
He's in love.
Was he serious or was he playing the role?
Totally playing the role. Playing the role. And I was like, oh, you like that segment? When we go to Italy, oh, that's how we talk.
You like it in Italian classy.
Did he mention seven
get it,
fishes?
Bubba.
I just thought it was funny because here we are leaving our Italian, terrible Italian accent, segment. And then we've morphed into like Steve Irwin looking for the illustrious... the elusive red area.
Oh, my
Be
God.
The dramatic.
Be quiet. It gets scared.
Oh. You can just picture Joe Judge pointing to the camera.
All right, there it is. Come a little closer. You're on the 10-yard line. Bring in Kendrick Bourne. Reverse!
If you're for the red area, is it the 25?
Wait,
or 20,
we're in the fringe
area?
Now.
Are you talking about the 20 to the 15?
Not quite as dangerous out here on the fringe. It really gets a little hectic. Here it's dynamic. Oh, no. You guys, be careful. I'm going to stay back here and watch.
Okay, wait. The answer gets worse, though.
Let me keep hearing this. Yeah. It can't be. Ryan, it gets better?
Well, you know what? Let's just Coach Joe Judge.
Right, let me hear more of Joe Jazz.
If you refer to the red area, is it the 25 to the 20, that fringe area? Are you talking about the 20 to the 15? You're talking about inside the 15-yard line, where really most defense coordinators truly start to change how they call it.
Mm.
That's really the defense is because the space on the field really changes. And then you talk about that low red area and that tight red area.
Yeah.
You know, that inside the 7, that inside the 5-yard line type of zones, and where the defenses show up, very differently. You got to know what teams do. In terms of what we're doing team-wise, we've had some opportunities. Got to capitalize and execute better as a team, as coach and staff, make sure we're in the right position. But we've had some good opportunities as well.
Unbelievable.
Some things, that we've had chances with. So, each team is its own challenge. And in terms of just talking about the red area in general,
That
can get kind of painted because you look at a stat sheet and talk about a certain yard line.
Insane.
We've got to look more specifically as an offense in terms of each range of that field and each opponent, how we're approaching it differently week by week.
I got to look the eye.
Thanks, appreciate it.
I challenge anybody to somehow explain to me what he just said. Did he just jazz us to death? Did he Joe jazz us with his long-winded answer of saying nothing? He went into the low red, the tight red.
If you're for the red area, is it the 25 to the 20, that fringe area? Are you talking about the 20 to the 15?
Ooh.
You're talking about inside the 15-yard line, where really most defense coordinators truly start to change how they call it. That's really the defense is because the space on the field really changes. And then you talk about that low red area and that tight red area. Inside the 7, then inside the 5-yard line.
I don't like the way he says
where
that.
The defenses show up.
That red area.
That's great.
Sexy. This is
that low red area, that tight red
offensive
area.
Coaches say when their
he's
team
a freak, really. It goes down. What a freak.
Isn't this what offensive coaches say when their teams suck in the red zone? They just make things up about you gotta understand, inside the 5, inside the 7, inside the 15. What are we talking about? We got different zones. It's like, dude, all of it. Your team isn't good at it. It's a dynamic area.
They suck on every yard line of the red zone.
Yeah, how about that? How about all of it?
But,
how about all of it?
But
how about that low red area? That
ooh,
red area.
How about that tight red?
But
But
imagine being Mac Jones. How about you're Mac Jones talking to this guy about it? Joe, how can we improve the red area? Are we talking about the lower red area, Mac? Are we talking about within the 7, within the 5, within the 4? What are we talking about, the 12? Where are we at? Because we're at the 17, we got a different playbook. We're at
never
the 12,
mind,
we got a different
Joe.
Playbook. Like this is what Mac deals with every day.
Forget
and
I asked,
to complicate
Joe.
It further, guess what? When you get down there, that's when defensive coordinators really start throwing crazy stuff out there.
Should we get
down there, it's like, isn't that supposed to be the thing that you have in your cabinet of coaches? Have a defensive coordinator.
Well, should we listen to Scatty P? Because I'm sure he'll clear it up.
Yes.
How's everybody doing today?
Do we have Scatty P talking about the red zone as well? I believe we had that yesterday, him trying to break it down. Wasn't it kind of very similar sort
of work.
Curious
about the red zone. Ooh. And, you know, obviously you had some time, you know, prior to the Vikings game, you know, with the bye week to kind of look at that. It didn't fare particularly well against the Vikings. Is there something that needs to be done differently, whether it's play calling, execution? You know, what do you have to do to kind of get up off the mat when it comes to the red zone?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a critical area of the field where, you know, we've got to go out and perform well in order to get, you know, get the ball in the end zone. Mm-hmm. It's a tough area of the field. Certainly, the plays happen faster. Everything happens quicker from that standpoint, and everything is condensed. And certainly we had some opportunities the other day that that were good. But, you know, overall just, you know, trying to do a better job to make sure we try to get the ball in the end zone. I think, you know, we're definitely looking at those things from all different aspects. And
no, you go,
certainly
man.
Had a short week with Ooh. Minnesota, you know, who's a good defense, and they do a lot of different things in there. We're trying to, you know, give them things that we...
All right, neither one of these guys say anything.
All they're saying is that the red zone is the most difficult, competitive part of the field. Like,
which is why they suck at it. It speeds up. It's small. You got to be creative. They can't scheme anybody open. They can't do anything. Like in a red zone.
If you're for the, you know, red area, is it the 25 to the 20, that fringe area? Are you talking about the 20 to the 15?
No, Jesus.
That's where the defense is, because the space on the field changes.
It's dangerous in there. It's dangerous.
Boy, now, once you go into the low red, now I'm the guy from Jaws. Boy, now you get inside the red area.
The Crocs.
Oh, you get, now that's the goal line. That's different than the red. Be careful there.
Fine infantry.
Eleven men go into the red zone.
I like going down the pond chasing bluegills or tommy cats.
There's
he starts talking about the red zone and his eyes are all over lifeless.
Yeah, I feel like this
white,
is
like a doll's eyes.
Oh, I could do this all day.
You want to stay alive and ante up? Don't. You want to play it cheap? Be on welfare the whole winter.
I mean, what are we doing? It's just the red zone. Just talk like normal football
okay,
people.
So Dan Orlovsky, obviously he's not hiding anything. He works for ESPN. He's going to give us real good, you know, like, you know, lesson, okay, and, you know, advice for being successful in the red zone. Not even long-winded, just here to the point. Tight ends, man, they do this, they do that, they do this. They did exactly what he talked about. And I don't understand why saying, you know what, it's really easy. You can say, listen, you got to be able to run the football. We got to run the football better in the red zone. That opens everything up. The closer we get, obviously, it gets harder. So guys got to win. Like, we're going to have a lot of one-on-one battles. The balls are going to be – they got to catch them. We got to throw them. How about that? Like, I just don't know what you're doing. I'm – leaky eye.
Get your leaky eye. All right, let's go to break. More you guys are caught lined up still. You want to talk about it. We'll get into it as well. At some point, we keep forgetting about this defense. I want to get into it, whether they think it's exposed or not. We'll do that. It's all coming up next. We're down here at Gillette and the Patriots Monday. Mac Jones, he's going to join us. We'll get an update probably around 4:30 or so when he'll be in, but expect him right around that time. We'll talk to you next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
She's fighting for her life. She thinks we mean to hurt her. So what I got to do is whammo, grab around the head and use my entire body to pin her down.
Joe Judge talking about the red area.
Oh,
and why it's so difficult for the New England Patriots.
That's too funny. Oh, my God. That is what I...
She thinks I'm trying to hurt her.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to score her. On you, eh?
Very dangerous area.
Oh,
very dynamic area.
No, it's a field goal.
She doesn't understand that we're trying to help her. She's fighting for her life. She thinks we mean to hurt her. So what I got to do is whammo, grab around the head, and use my entire body to pin her down.
What is it? Is this a gator? What's he pinning down?
It's a crocodile.
This is the red area is dynamic.
Guys, this is what Trent Brown was trying to do on the cut block.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to fall on top of you.
I'm trying to
protect her. She thinks I'm going to hurt her.
No. The red area, no. It's just very dynamic in there. It doesn't want to hurt you.
But. All right, I want to get to something that was said in the broadcast. But first, let me take one more call here. Let me go to Joe in the car. Go ahead, Joe. You're on, buddy.
Lou, how you doing, pal?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Christian.
Yeah.
You guys will never pass with being Italian. I tell you guys right now, you guys are awful. You guys try to talk that stuff. I swear, I almost want to drive off the road. Stick to what kind of language you speak. But anyway,
tell him,
let
Joe.
Me get this straight, Lou.
Yeah.
Lou, let me get this straight.
Go ahead.
So you got two coaches that keep babbling on and on and on when asked a question, who gives you nothing. And then you got a head coach who gives you basically one word answer and doesn't even answer the question, which takes me to my point. I don't know if you guys are listening to his interview there with Greg Hill.
Yeah.
Now, Mac Jones, Lou, you gotta agree with me on this one, brother, because you and I can relate. Is it fair to say that Mac Jones played his best NFL game this past Thursday?
I think he did.
Okay. Greg Hill asked Belichick this morning, straight out, asked him and said, you know, Mac Jones played a great game, Mr. Bill, you know.
Yep.
What were some of the things that you saw? He couldn't even, give him one thing, which brings me to my point. Belichick is not sold on Mac Jones. He had a chance to pick up the kid this morning, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. I mean, especially with everything going on with Mac Jones and Zappa talk,
well,
everything.
Joe,
Mac
you know.
Jones, he deserves his praise. Anybody. He deserves a little bit of praise. You know what I mean? I know.
Yeah, I would like to say, Joe, not one of
your best calls.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
I'm just saying.
It's because he started off criticizing you and
I.
By the way.
It happens all the time.
Hey, we're Italian. Adelini.
Hey, Faria. Hey. What is that supposed to mean, Joe? Oh.
What's the matter with you?
I like the same things you like, a pizza pie and the Parmesan and stuff for gabagoo and all the cheeses that we do.
I agree with Joe. By the way, speaking of, he may not be high on Mac Jones, but it seems like he's very high on Ramondre Stevenson. I don't know if you guys caught this on Thursday, but this was Mike Tirico and Jason Garrett going back and forth. Dungy was there as well. About the production meeting, you know, when they get a little something out of Bill Belichick. Listen to this conversation. See what
talk about Belichick, guys. How effusive was he in praising the running back, Stevenson?
It was incredible. I mean, he went on and on and on, and coaches doesn't speak a whole lot in those production meetings, but he probably talked about Ramondre for 15 minutes, and he compared his growth and his development in a short period of time to both Tom Brady and to Lawrence Taylor.
we all kind of glanced at each other, and it was not the ability of the player down line, the growth, though.
Wow.
Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. Lawrence Taylor, the greatest defensive player of all time. He compared Ramondre Stevenson's growth.
Jeez.
The Lawrence Taylor one in particular, when we heard that on the broadcast at my house, I was like, that's Bill's favorite person in the entire world is Lawrence Taylor. So I believe, like, we've heard Bill talk about Ramondre as how great and how lucky they are to have him on the team.
Right.
But then, apparently, you know, this jumped out to some of the reporters down here as well at Gillette, and they asked him about it following up, like, this praise that he was heaping on for 15 minutes.
Staying with Ramondre, Jason Garrett mentioned on the NBC broadcast and in your production meeting, you compared, in his words, Ramondre's growth and development in such a short span to Tom Brady's and Lawrence Taylor's. if that's true, could you expound upon that?
I'm not sure. You'd have to talk to Jason about that.
Well, that was his claim that what you said.
Yeah, I don't really remember it quite that way.
Was that inaccurate?
Yeah, I mean, not the way you phrased it. I don't remember it quite that way, no.
How do you remember
it? I mean, you're talking about players that play completely different positions.
I tell you what, Callahan, he's really, he may be the MVP this year.
He and Perry.
Callahan, yeah, it's going to be close.
I don't think he can elbow out Phil at this
point. I don't know.
He hasn't gotten a single.
Phil came out of the gate.
That's all right. That's okay. But I'm saying, I'm not saying, listen, it's not over yet. But Callahan is making a strong case with six games left to go in the season. See, that was one aspect. And I don't know if you guys remember the part of the game where Dungy and Jason Garrett were trying to give like Bill advice, like real time advice, like during the game, and like telling him, "Oh, you should take a timeout. You should take a timeout. Oh, I would definitely take a timeout right now." And then some time passed, and in my head, I'm like, "Don't these guys feel dopey trying to give advice live TV? Yeah. You know, Thursday
game
night
management.
Football game management advice to Bill."
Yeah.
Okay. And then they both kind of recognized what they had just said out loud.
Yeah.
And they said, well, what? And then they actually said, like, hey, we shouldn't be doing this at all. Because I was laughing my butt off. Like, how do you sit there and tell Bill and judge Bill and try to tell him what to do with his timeout?
How does Jason Garrett sit there and go, you know what Bill Belichick should do? This would help him a lot.
And remember, and Ryan, remember, so the one person I think that Michael Lombardi hated more than ever, I think, was Andy Reid. The clapper, Jason Garrett.
Yeah. The clapper.
Yeah, so if they're willing to mock him, right? Well, what do you think? How do you think Bill feels about the clapper? Like, how do you think?
Well, if Mike doesn't like him, I'm sure Bill doesn't.
I know. Well, maybe Mike doesn't like him because Bill doesn't like him.
Right.
Like, because it's like, whatever you like, Bill. You want? I like that too. Do you like? I like that too. Like, no matter what it is, Michael Lombardi is going to agree with Bill. So
I don't know why he's Glenn.
But I do think it's funny that. So because I feel like Bill has like some of the guys like he'll open up with. The other ones, I feel like he just kind of he has to do it, so he humors them. I think Garrett may be that guy. Because, like, how would they get it wrong?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure he's really excited about the whole Ramondre story, too.
Because he doesn't want Ramondre to think, hey, man, they just compared me to Lawrence Taylor.
Like, if he's sitting there, I don't think he wants it out on the broadcast that he spent 15 minutes of the production meeting talking about
one player.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a... I don't think that he wants to be painted out that way as he's just sitting there, like, gushing about his running.
And then
we
asked him about Mac, and he said, like, three words.
Yeah.
It was really weird. But anyways, back to the game.
But even
Stephen,
listen, at the end of the season, we're going to all vote for our MVP.
All right.
Beat writer, boots on the ground
it's
writer.
It's going to be – okay, we talked about
we should
this
give
before.
Them a major award.
This is what it's going to be. It's going to be the grenade guy. The guy –
what's the grenade? Explain
he
that.
He falls on guy. The grenade
yeah.
for everybody.
I think the follow-up guy. I think that's the hardest part. Because he doesn't answer anything.
The way that I love that Phil does it is Phil goes, sometimes I just need that spelled out for me sometimes. Like,
Curran does it in his own sneaky, snarky way now. So there may be some votes for Curran. But I think right now Callahan is pushing Perry for that MVP of the year.
Yep, we'll have to review the current
odds. And Carrigan, how about Karen, though?
And
there's
Karen's
another
there
dark
too.
Horse one.
Yeah, that's great. But can you answer my question, Patricia?
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely...
That's great.
I feel like we should have an award ceremony and actually have that person come on to accept
the
award.
And give them the golden grenade.
I like it.
All right, listen, when we come back, I want to ask you guys about the defense and what you thought about them against Minnesota. We will. We'll dive into it next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.